You might have guessed it, we'll be talking about love in the second service. First service, we're still in righteousness and justice number 18. I wanted to close it up. I had a few things that we needed to talk about that we didn't finish. A little bit about Thanksgiving. Just some good stuff that I think the righteous believer expresses when we get to that moment in our life where we can truly appreciate what God is doing for us and what He's always done for us. It's just amazing to me. So before we get going, and actually I wanted to tell you a little bit a different introduction, but I'll get to that. Let's go ahead and get fellowship first. Before we do that, let's take a moment of silent prayer. And for us, it just means that we can confess, acknowledge our sins to God the Father, and He can then cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we're able to grow spiritually, apply His word, learn it, apply it, and live it in the light of the Holy Spirit. So it's an important thing that we know of and we're very aware of, and we just we'll go ahead and take care of that now. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are thankful to be on this earth and during this time, during this place, in this place that You put us in with the people that are around us. We know that there's always a higher divine purpose of everything that we go through and everything we do. We just thank You so much for being able to be a part of this. And we just pray today that we can have the clarity and understanding, concentration to continue to grow and learn Your word in our lives. We thank You for these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So the first thing I wanted to look at was part of walking as children of light is to, based on Ephesians 5:11, means to not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them, is what it says. So not participating, you can hear those unfruitful deeds of darkness. You know, that's the opposite of the fruitful deeds that we are to partake in as believers in Jesus Christ. So, yes, we are capable of doing that. We are very capable, as you know, out of the filling of the Holy Spirit, not in fellowship. But then it says to expose them. Now, those two things are two imperatives I wanted to mention. One is to not participate, and the next one is to expose them. And that verse was on my mind ever since I saw this in the news, and I wanted to share it with you. And here's why. This isn't about politics. I don't really care what party you are with or who you vote for. All I care about is that you're learning the word. And I think you can apply that to who you do vote for. But I think this is an important thing because as soon as I saw it, I said, well, I think the congregation needs to know about it because I think it is part of the deeds of darkness that we should bring to light and expose them. And some of you probably saw this already, I'm sure. This was a bill that was voted on this week called the Respect for Marriage Act. I'm sure some of you saw it, and I just wanted to briefly look at this because it does have to do with God's divine purpose and those who are against that divine purpose. And so don't think this is about politics. This is about a divine institution that God has ordained between a man and a woman. And as you already know, that is the bedrock, the core of what keeps our country great. One of the things is the family, the marriage through the man and the woman. Does that mean we hate people that are not practicing this? No, we don't. Actually, we are to express grace to all people, and even if they come in this church. All I can do is tell you where we stand biblically. That's what I want to get at here. And so this, when I saw this, what this bill would do is repeal the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act, which defined legal marriage as between a man and a woman. I said it would do because it just went through the House and it still got to go through the Senate. So it did go through the House, and we're going to look a little bit about that. But it will basically replace that with the Respect for Marriage Act, which codifies and protects the rights of same-sex marriages under federal law, is what that'll do. Now, I don't know if you know how serious that is in a country like ours. When I saw that, I mean, we see it all everywhere. You know, it's nothing new to us. But when you start to legalize things that are not right in the sight of God, we need to take note of it. We need to at least recognize where our political leaders are. And I think that's a direct reflection on the people, right? Didn't we vote them in? I'm not saying you did, but as a majority, our country where we are. So, like I said, the bad news is that this did pass the House of Representatives. Still has to go to the Senate, which it's not expected to pass, by the way. It's not even really expected to make it really very far, but that's really unknown. But I think this is important. I'm not going into the motives of why they did it. It's probably a smoke screen. Maybe it's a, but the issue is it was a real vote and there was real people voting on it. And that's how they really felt, how they should vote. Right. It just reminded me that evil is knocking on the door. It's on the front porch, and it's been there for a while, as you know, but this is kind of outright in front of your face. Now, I also wanted you to see these numbers, the votes, because this is kind of revealing to me about where the spiritual state, you know, is of the people behind the vote. It's kind of a snapshot of where we are, at least in the House for the U.S. Now here, I don't know if you can see these numbers, but this is the actual yay or nay votes. You've got Democrats voted yes, all of them, 220. Republican, you have 47 voted yes. You have 157 voted no. Total, you got 260 yes, 157 no. And then you have some non-votes way over there on the right. You see that? I don't know what happened. They must have got scared and took off running or something. I don't know. But I wanted to point these out because if you look at these numbers, keep in mind there's a total of 438 representatives that represent the United States of America. It was 435. I don't know how it got changed to 438. But needless to say, there's 438 and they represent states based on their population. So Texas has quite a bit. We've got 36 representatives. Okay? Some other states may not have as much because they have a smaller population. Now, if you're wondering who from Texas voted in favor of this bill, well, you're in luck because I was too. I said, well, who from Texas was voting? Because this is our state, right? We want to see, you know. These things kind of go unspoken. They go unknown. They go under the radar. People vote and they move about their business like no big deal. But this is becoming a game, and we need to start playing the game. We need to know things like this, I think. So out of the 36 representatives that we have here in Texas, 13 voted in favor of this bill, which is 36% of your state's representatives. Now, if you look at the total, it's 63% that voted in favor of. Texas, it was 36% that voted in favor of, okay? Now, I am not saying a word about these people, if they're believers, unbelievers. I have no idea. I don't even know their motivation. I pray that their motivation is right. Maybe they just messed up. I don't care and I don't know. All I just want to show you is what happened here, okay? Now, here are the numbers. These are all from Texas. You have Colin Allred. I thought, you know, with a name like Allred, you would have think he would have had to have been Republican, but he's not. Democrat, Joaquin Castro, Henry Cuellar, Lloyd Doggett, Veronica Escobar, Lizzie Fletcher, Sylvia Garcia, Tony Gonzalez, Vincent Gonzalez, Al Green, Sheila Jackson Lee, Eddie Johnson, and Mark Vesey. Now you see who's the winner on this list as far as the city goes. Right next door to us, Houston, Texas, has four of those votes right there. You know, we may not know that these people are believers or unbelievers, but I can tell you what they're doing and what they're yelling very loudly is that they don't care and they're rejecting what God says and how God feels and what His Word says. That's what they're saying. They don't have to tell us anything when it comes to how they, why they voted. We know at least one reason why is because they rejected what God says about this divine institution. Doesn't mean they're not going to church. Doesn't mean they're not believers. I have no idea. They may be even growing spiritually. But they are contributing to the deterioration of this state and this country. This is in Texas. I figured it would have taken a lot longer to call out everybody, so I just picked our state. Now they're out there. Now people can write them down and maybe not vote for them. I don't know. Maybe you will. Hopefully not. I pray that you vote for who is in line with the Word of God. And, you know, these people may be good people. I'm sure some of them probably are. But it still needs to be out there, I think. If you're going to vote in public, it needs to be made public. So, boy, that one did not come out right. So anyways, we are in a position in our country where we are, God will use believers who are prepared and who are willing to stand firm in the gap. And this is the time we have to stand firm in the gap. That's why I wanted to bring this up, because if we're going to stand for anything, we're not going to be standing with the 36% of, let's just say, Texas, the people of Texas representation, because that's kind of where the population is, right? A third of our state feels this way. You could say that's fair. That's, we voted them in, so you could say roughly a third of this state, that's how we are. So, and I think seeing this gives us some awareness of where we are as a state and as a country, and it should motivate you to move with some urgency towards spiritual maturity, because that is the only thing that's going to keep this country afloat. If these men and women had any awareness of, and they may not, if they had any awareness, knowledge of truth, absolute truth, not relative, they would have chosen a different path, but they don't. Or they're choosing not to. It's just a rejection, right? So, and we made our way to growing to maturity, the believer who is gaining capacity for greater blessings in life. You also gain a stronger faith and patience. Remember that? That goes right along with your spiritual growth. So, and I think all of these things is what results in what we said is a divine attitude of thanksgiving. We see all this, we see everything that we're going through, evil, but we still have to maintain our position with a sense of urgency to move in the right direction in our country. We stand for something that is absolutely divine good, and absolutely God has your back in that. In other words, evil will destroy itself, as we mentioned earlier. So that's the good news. And part of that means that we can have that blessing of thanksgiving. We've already looked at 1 Thessalonians 5:19, telling the believer to not quench the spirit. I don't want to look at that again, but I wanted to show you two verses just before that, which mentions thanksgiving. Because thanksgiving is kind of where we left off. And I think thanksgiving is the key, or one of the keys to our happiness and our contentment in this life. Um, And plus, it's an attitude we're commanded to have from the Word of God. So here it is, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It says, rejoice always. Always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, we know this verse. We've seen this verse. But every time I read it, it seems like a brand new verse to me. I don't know why. That's a lot of scripture. Because you've got three things going on here. You have joy, you have continuous joy, you have to pray without ceasing, continuous prayer, and in all this you have thanksgiving in your soul. So there's a three combination deal going on here that we have to combine these because they're combined here. And it doesn't say just to do them. These all three of these verbs are in the present tense. So not only do they go together, but they're all to be done continuously. This is a continual thing, to rejoice always, to pray, and to give thanks. Those three things. If we can have an attitude like that, despite what we see, despite what people vote for, guess what? We're not only moving forward, but God is glorified in us. In your body, God is glorified. That's important. Because if you can understand where God is coming from, keep in mind, these are three commands. Imperative mood here. This isn't just something to read and say, oh, God recommends this. This is an imperative to rejoice, imperative to pray, and an imperative to everything give thanks. It sounds like just good advice to someone who's casually reading, but it's not. It's a command. And like anything else in God's Word, as you know, a command is meant for your benefit. It's meant because God loves you and He's looking out for the best of you, just like you told your son or daughter to be home at midnight. There was a reason you said that. There was a reason, because you wanted them to be safe, protected, you wanted them healthy, and you wanted them to not be exposed to the goonies that come out after midnight or whatever time, 2 o'clock maybe. You know, 2:33, whatever. But you get the point. There's a reason. Yeah, there's a reason why God commands these things, because it's to our maximum benefit. It's to our maximum benefit. He's telling us to come home at a certain hour in this way because it protects us to the maximum and it glorifies Him. So don't leave some of these on the side, as we tend to do. There's joy, and we have to keep that prayer locked in there. Because, you know, even me, we forget to pray, not pray in general, to pray about certain things. We'll exclude certain components of issues that we're having in our life, and we'll keep juggling those and pray for a lot of different things, other people, maybe yourself, but there's certain things we exclude from prayer. I don't know why we do that. You know, we'll struggle, but it's just that one thing that we're having a hard time with, and we're not praying about it. It's the weirdest thing in the world. But it's one of the things that's keeping us from having the joy, and I think the flow is right too. Have the joy, continue to pray so you can support and sustain that joy, and then the thanksgiving is what comes out of this. Now, obviously, this is to a maturing believer. You know, you can't do this without doing what you're doing. You can't do this without a consistency of growth, of applying the Word in the church and out the church, right? It's just not possible for the baby believer who is in it sometimes and out of the Word other times. This is a definite for the mature believer. And this is an attitude of gratitude directed toward God. That's important, because aren't all these directed towards God? Yes, they are. You read this, you think that it should come from outside in. This should come from the people, the things, whether the day is good or bad, whether we have certain blessings or not. But this is all directed towards God. The joy you have is because of who and what He does and is in your life and how He sustains you. The prayer is directly to Him, not to someone else telling them your problems. I think that another reason for the joy and the thanksgiving is because what He does in those prayers. Watching Him answer even in the no's of prayer. We've got to be thankful for the no's, don't we? Not to keep desiring something when he answers no. There's a purpose. There's a reason for it. That's why it says in everything. Notice there's a continual, the present tense, continuous. Everything. Always. Without ceasing. Do you see how this is more of a state you're in? Not just a, oh, here's a good time for this. Always, continuously, at all times, without ceasing. And that's exactly what these words mean when you look at them in the Greek. They mean always. Not just in some things. Not just in, you know, when I feel good or when I feel like this is a great day and I should be thankful. It says always. So to have a soul thanksgiving is directly related to your capacity. And we talked about that. How much you can handle as far as blessings from God. That's your capacity. And he's waiting on us to get that thanksgiving in our souls with that rejoicing and the prayer before he can bless us with better and bigger and more spectacular blessings. And by the way, don't think of one specific blessing. There's a lot of blessings that you don't realize, and I'll mention a few of those later, that aren't physical blessings. You can have a lot more fun in your soul than you can with a physical blessing. You can have a lot more fun, a lot better day in your thought process than you can with a physical thing. So there's blessings that we are not necessarily thinking about that God offers us to this believer who is thankful. And I think thanksgiving, the attitude of thanksgiving, if you're wondering, is a good indicator of how much capacity you have. It's a good indicator. Ask myself, ask yourself, what am I thankful for? And if I'm not thankful for it, why am I not thankful for it? Because it's here. God provided it. Does it mean it's perfect? No. Does it mean I should be not thankful for it? No, it doesn't. Thanksgiving is a very good indicator of our capacity. And I'm not really talking about how thankful you are for certain people at certain times. Because that's the kind of thing that comes and goes. That's a good thing. But I'm talking about a continuous soul thanksgiving directed toward God. The thanksgiving towards people is a result of that. That's an overflow of your thanksgiving from your soul. Because the next day the person will do something that you don't like. Oop, there goes that thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has to be directed toward God because guess what? He's the source of why we can even feel, why we can even think in a satisfied way that we are thankful for what he has done in our life. You're not going to get that from a person. You can't. You can't. No matter how good, how perfect, how pretty, how whatever, fill in the blank, right? You can't get that from a person. But God fills the gap in our relationships and he bridges that perfection between two people in any relationship, friend, foe, husband, wife, family member, someone you don't even know. God always bridges those gaps. So, interestingly, thanksgiving is also a form of worship in your soul. You know, that's a neat thought, to know that you don't have to be dropped down on your knees praying to God. If you're thankful in your soul, you are dropped on your knees praying to God in thanksgiving. Isn't that awesome thought to know that when we are thankful, we are worshiping the source of all things. We're worshiping the source. Ephesians 5:18, you remember that one. It says to be filled, that's the command to be filled with the Spirit. Now, we have another thanksgiving verse in verse 20, two verses later. So you got, we just heard, We were in Ephesians 5, 16 through 18. And now here's Ephesians 5, 20. Right after commanding us to be filled with the Spirit. So I skipped one verse there. And then here's verse 20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. There it is again, that same type of attitude. And notice that the verse brings in the time aspect like the other one did. Always, not when you're just in a good mood, always giving thanks. The word literally means at all times. And it doesn't stop there. Look what else it does. In reference to all things. All things. All. All things. Can you be thankful when times are adverse? When someone has wronged you? When all signs point to not being thankful? It's really a matter of reacting or responding to God's word and applying what he says. That's it. That's really the issue here. It's a point of application. Can we apply and be thankful for God for it, allowing those things to happen in our lives? For letting that, what seemed like such a bad thing, happen? Can we be thankful for it? Because you know what? When we trusted in God in the midst of all that, it changed you. Your capacity grew as a person. You see things differently. And a matter of fact, you have more grace because of that, what happened. A lot of times we let adversity take away our soul satisfaction that's only found in God. Isn't that funny? We let the circumstances take that away from us. We let. Not the circumstances. We let the circumstances take that away. There's a barrier between what happens and what happens in your mind. And it's called volition. We are the keeper of how you react or respond to God and feel thereafter. We're the keeper of that. God gave you the freedom to live your life according to your thoughts, according to your volition, according to which way you choose, right or wrong. And in this case, he says, I'm going to put a test in front of you and give you the opportunity to choose if it's going to remove your satisfaction or you're going to redirect that and keep it in me and maintain your satisfaction. And most importantly, in faith. All this is in faith, as you could probably guess, which is the glue for everything in the spiritual life, faith. So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I think is a good verse, I think, for any day of the week. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. This verse applies to what we've been talking about. In order to be thankful, you have to get away from the human reason, the human rational side, the human understanding of what may appear, of what may seem, of what may, whatever the case may be. Or it may really be that way. But the question is, it says, do not lean on your own understanding about how things are happening, how things are taking place, what they're meant to do for you. You know, there's a lot bigger picture on the other side of this, the divine picture, right? What God is doing. So if we're going to have faith, there's a moment, there's a time in there where you have to just stand still. You have to not know. You have to not understand because you have to rely on the person on the other side of your faith. That's why it says do not lean on your own understanding. Because when we start to lean on ourselves, what do we start to do? There's no faith in leaning on yourself. There's no faith in that. There has to be. I used that learning to float on your back in the water example. You have to get to the point where you can float. Or even when the person lets go of you and you're learning, they remove their hands from your back and, you know, they keep trying to come up. That's what we do when we lean on our own understanding. We keep trying to come up because we've lost that support. We've lost maybe a human support. We've lost. So that's not how the spiritual life is meant to be lived. You've got to. Faith is connecting this verse. It's not in the verse, but it's in the verse. Because the only way to apply this verse is to trust and to acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. So, don't trust yourself with the outlook or how you feel or any of these things. Because we will lie to ourselves very quickly. Your sin nature will tell you one thing, and it's not true. And then all of a sudden we're out of fellowship and we're not applying. So, another good verse that I came across. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Because I think this applies to the growing and maturing believer, the righteously walking believer. And by the way, there's only one correct understanding, isn't there, on how to live life? It's got to come from God to us. It has to come from that direction to us. That's the understanding that we need. That is the standard. That is the absolute standard. We all struggle as parents on how and, you know, when to do something and, you know, how to direct our children and what to tell them. Guess what? If we live it like this, if we instill this in them, that's the best we can do. So not only do we have help in these issues, but we have an absolute standard of what to live this life by. For kids, for adults, for everyone, everybody. So we are commanded to trust. Right here, this is a command. To trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not lean on your own understanding, and to acknowledge Him. That's actually three things, isn't it? Trust in the Lord, not lean on your own understanding, and acknowledge Him. So, in other words, in everything we do, seek to gain knowledge of God and learn what He desires of us. That's a good way to explain this verse. Seeking. There's that urgency that I was talking about. There's that, you know, that drive forward as believers, that motivates us to move forward, because what are we here for? That's it. The more we realize why we're here, the more important this becomes to us. Everything we do. Acknowledge here means that you check with a person first. In this case, we check with God. Acknowledging Him means you go check with Him first. That has to do with your conscience. It has to do with if there's already truth in your soul, and if there's anything to check it off of with. Is there any standard already there that you can live by? Well, that's just the consistency of the intake of the Word. Acknowledge. It means you hear them. You know they're there. And you respond to that in all your ways. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Every decision, everything we do, every place we go, every person we're around, everywhere. So you're checking with God's ways every step, every day of your life. These two really should be one and the same, from your awareness of His plan in your life. Now, before we get to the break, I wanted to mention a few different types of blessings. Maybe I should save this for the second service, because there's quite a few different kinds of blessings. A lot of us think of the physical blessings, or we think of the monetary blessings instantly as believers. But, you know, that's the human nature. That's maybe what you need. That's maybe what the majority of people need. But God offers a whole lot more blessings than just those two things. A lot more. There's spiritual blessings, which can mean no more fear, worry, stress, and more happiness. The ability to enjoy every day with an excitement and a positive outlook. That's a blessing. If you can wake up and enjoy every day for what it is and be thankful, that is a blessing. This also translates to people around you. Relationships, quality, being around quality people in the social environment. What does that mean? It means that it's a satisfying, it's a fun, it's a something that you cherish, it's something that you are thankful for to be around them because God has put them in your life. That's a blessing. There's a lot of people that are in our lives and God has placed them there, and they may not even be believers, but they are a blessing because they have a different and unique perspective that we appreciate. And we can understand where they're coming from. They may be a believer and they may just be off track, but they're a blessing. They're a blessing. They're very unique. God has placed them there for a reason. You're learning a lot. God can bless you with coworkers, friends, bosses, employees, etc. People you come into contact with to get work done in your business, around the house. There's a lot of blessings that we don't even think about. You ever look back and say, wow, you know, that guy did an awesome job. It's almost like he was dropped right out of heaven. He had a good attitude. I could tell he was, you know, he must have been in the Word, or at least he had a frame of reference of he was definitely a believer. Or even if he wasn't, he still, God just oversaw that process. He protected you. He protected your belongings. And the work was done to a T. And even if it wasn't, it never is, right? You know, we always come behind and say, well, look, yeah, look at it. You know what? Be thankful for the mistakes. Because God just oversaw the process with someone that was very unique. And very... It gave you a way to relax through the process. That's a blessing. That is a blessing. Don't go behind them and start nitpicking. They've already nitpicked it themselves, believe me. I do that anyways to myself. So this includes the blessing of being calm and content and thankful. How about your capacity to love? Isn't that what we're talking about? That's a blessing. The capacity to love saves you a lot of problems. Because, you know, love involves a lot of different things, as we're going to talk about. A lot of different aspects of love. One of them is patience. A lot of people don't have patience. You're not in any way influenced by the worst things that happen to believers. Arrogance, legalism, human good rather than divine good. Other spiritual blessings include cognitive abilities, mental stability, organization, grace orientation. And that's just a way to think from the Word of God. How He deals with us, we can deal with other people in grace. Grace, grace. That's a blessing. Blessings of privacy. You don't think about that often, do you? But there is a blessing that God provides us to give us a certain amount of privacy or lack thereof. The blessing of freedom, even in your personal surroundings. The enjoyment of life, property, protection from crime, national disaster. There's There is the prosperity of efficiency, success. There are leadership, ways in leadership to prosper. I'm not necessarily referring to growing or advancing. I mean in your abilities to lead. In your abilities, God can bless you in the area to effectively be an effective leader. And that comes both soldier and civilian. There is professional prosperity. Doesn't matter what profession you're in, every one of them. God gives us abilities that are outside the norm. If He wants to bless you with something that you're not meant to be or you're not good at, guess what? God can make you good at it. That's a blessing. Business prosperity. Success in business. Doesn't matter where you are, where you fall, whether you're the owner or the laborer. Social prosperity. And I mentioned that a little bit. Having stable friends that you can enjoy, love, they're reliable. And also you have the ability to handle all sorts of social issues. That's a blessing. God gives some of you a gift of not necessarily stressing out every time there's a problem. You know how to keep a cool tool and kind of mend the environment. Calm the people down. Calm the people down. Not a lot of people have that. People just flip out and all of a sudden, you know, everybody's in a different corner of the office pouting. You're the one that's supposed to bring that together. God has given you the blessing, the mediator blessing in the physical realm. Romantic prosperity, definitely in there. I know some of the guys are waiting on that one still. Actually, some of the ladies, right? That means a wonderful relationship with a member of the opposite sex where happiness replaces sinfulness. Isn't that awesome? Happiness replaces sinfulness. In fellowship replaces out of fellowship. You can enjoy each other a lot more that way. Sin is really what destroys those type of things. Mental prosperity in concentration. I already mentioned organization. The ability to analyze. Courage is, there's a blessing in courage because as you know, we know where courage comes from, the Word of God. The ability to think when the pressure is turned up, that's a blessing. Mental prosperity also includes freedom from mental sins. I already mentioned that, fear, worry, and anxiety. Cultural prosperity. That means you have a maximum capacity for good entertainment. Good entertainment. You can enjoy, and God provides things in your life where you can enjoy them to the maximum. Whether it be at a venue, whether it be something small or big, or whether it be, you know, I don't know, maybe you might go to a KISS concert, who knows. Whatever it may be, you're going to fully enjoy it. Doesn't matter where it is, who it's with, God is going to give you the ability to enjoy that. There's health prosperity, which many of us don't seem to have. I'm kidding. God provides us these things just to bless us. You realize that, right? Health, prosperity. And I'm talking about the good and the bad, or what we perceive as bad. God has them there for a reason. Part of this is your ability to cope with your lack of good health. That's a blessing.
That's a blessing.
Doesn't necessarily mean freedom from pain. You can be in good health and have pain. And I already mentioned the leadership, prosperity. So you can see there's a lot of things that God can bless us with. And, you know, I look at a blessing being as a day that we are get a maximum amount of work done. That's a blessing. And I think I mentioned efficiency. When you get a lot of things done, that is a blessing. Because we don't always get the opportunity to do that. Whether you want to or not, it doesn't matter. A lot of things go into that equation. Yourself, other people, what's happening in the day. A lot of things there. How you feel, how you don't feel. So getting something done is a blessing. Getting more done, being, you know, very productive. So here we are to love, and this is a good place to stop. So when we come back, second service, we'll talk about God's awesome attribute of love. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your amazing way to show us how we're supposed to live and walk in righteousness. And we're so grateful to know that the only way we can even walk in righteousness is because we received it through Jesus Christ's work on the cross. Your justice demanded that sin be judged, and your grace provided that judgment. And it provided it by means of Jesus Christ's death on the cross. He died on the cross for every single sin, for every single person in human history. And you provided it to us free of charge. That's what your word tells us. For by grace we are saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, but it is a gift of God, so that we may not boast. And we can't boast, but we can be thankful. And we can worship you, and we can walk in righteousness because of what Jesus Christ did for us. And we're so thankful, and we just pray that we can move with a sense of urgency as we see what's crouching, always waiting on the front door of our country's porch. We thank you for these things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.